You know how important it is to ensure that your supplements are genuine, safe, and effective. That's why I partnered with Fullscript, an online dispensing platform that only offers curated professional-grade brands I know and trust, the very same supplements that I prescribe to my patients and take myself. Never counterfeit or expired, always stored and shipped correctly. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com to start your free Fullscript account. Buying through Fullscript offers fast shipping, optional refill reminders, a mobile-friendly site. It's safe, secure, and HIPAA-compliant and offers world-class support. Fullscript also gives you access to my custom-targeted supplement protocols that combine the products that I recommend to address specific needs, heart health, immune support, and much more. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com to sign up for your free Fullscript account. You'll get access to the supplements and features you need to help you achieve your wellness goals. That's DearHoffmanStore.com. DearHoffmanStore.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We're talking about how to optimize your performance, not just your athletic performance, but also your performance in everyday life, whether it's professional or personal. We're talking to mental performance coach Brandon Epstein, who's written a great book entitled Programmed to Fail, How to Break Through Your Mental Block and Achieve Greatness. And Brandon, that book is available through the usual sources.
Amazon.
And you also, you're very active on social media. You do YouTubes and Instagram and all that stuff, right? Do you have a channel?
I put out a lot of meditations on YouTube. It's kind of an opportunity for people to get a taste of my coaching without actually working with me one-on-one.
Great. So he works with athletes. He works with executives. And I guess you have a practice that's open to ordinary folks. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
What is the gamut of people that you work with in it? You know, high performance athletes, obviously, high powered executives, but you know, maybe just ordinary folks who want to achieve a performance breakthrough in some aspect of life. What are those folks like?
Yeah. I mean, it varies. And I think it varies based upon what I'm calling in. Right. I truly believe that whatever frequency I'm living in, if I'm like living in a certain world and I'm like thinking, eating, breathing it quite a bit, I seem to gravitate, or those people seem to gravitate towards me. So, you know, I've had a lot of like UFC fighters recently come into my world. I'm learning a lot more about UFC, enjoying that. Boxers, a lot of baseball players, you know, we're in season. So, Major League Baseball. And then also football as we go into this next NFL season. And then I work with, some business executives, CEOs. I work with a guy who's just trying to start a sustainable farm and trying to get clarity on that vision. And so really I work with anyone who's seeking a greater level of truth that they know they can find within themselves, because I don't have the answers. Everyone else has the answers. And so I'm trying to help guide them towards the answers that lie within. And the only way they can see with clarity what those answers are is by removing the subconscious programming that is clouding their vision and not allowing them to see the truth.
How does this differ from conventional psychiatry or psychology or working with therapist? Or are there overlaps or similarities, or is there a distinct difference?
Yeah, I think the biggest difference is that I'm working in the body, in the energy centers of the body. So we can call them chakras, meridians, if you want, you know, if you're familiar with Eastern medicine, but I'm really working in those energy centers. I'm doing energy work with people, and there's a large spiritual element to it. And the spiritual element always aligns with whatever the person believes in, because I'm not here to tell anyone what the source of everything is. If you have a belief about it, great. We're going to harness that. We're going to use it in the work we do together. And so I think a big part of my work is that I can go there and to that level and make it a conversation about spirituality, about energy, about mental performance, and just talk about how it all flows together. And it's not really in separate categories. It's all the same thing. And so when someone's working with me, I'm very challenging in the way that I'm going to put them right into their physical body, and I'm going to bring them right into the area of resistance that's been creating the issues in their life. And I'm going to hold them right to it and go right through it. And the reason I do this is because people pay me a lot of money to get results. So in therapy, maybe you're going and you're talking about your story for mm-hmm. years yep. before you start to get to a root.
Yeah, it didn't help Tony Soprano very much. You know, he went through many seasons of therapy, and he still right. was, a homicidal, maniac. So
right, therapy can be an incredible tool for awareness. Sorry, I'm not putting therapy down, but yep. for me and what my clients expect from me, right? If let's say we talked about baseball a little bit in part one of this episode, if someone's in a slump, they don't have months or years to get out of the slump. It has mm-hmm. to happen now. Mm-hmm. So what I'll take, let's say a baseball player, and this really applies to anyone in any aspect of life, but sports are a great way for us to kind of visualize and imagine ourselves confronting inner resistance. So I'll say, okay, I want you to feel this. You come into the batter's box and I want you to feel it. What does it feel like to be you in that moment? And part of my gift and part of my experience is I can feel what's going on in their body, and I'll call it out to them, because sometimes they won't even have that awareness initially. I'll say, hey, you know that feeling you get in your upper stomach? Yeah, you're afraid. And I'll challenge them and say, you're afraid. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're afraid. You're afraid. And then I'll have them go through this acceptance around, okay, fine. And I'm like, well, what do you believe to be true that's making you feel so afraid? You know? Oh, and then we might get to the source. Boom, we go right into it. I believe if I don't get a hit, I'm going to get traded. Or if I don't get a hit, I'm going down to the minors. Or if I don't get a hit, I'm not going to get mm-hmm. a big contract because I'm in a contract season, right? It's like, boom, we're at the source. And so we uncover in that moment is that they're running a piece of programming that's causing them to go up to every single at bat like it's make or break, yeah. which is going to put them in an anxious state. And so what I do with them is physically accept their way through that, really not trying to fight against it, accepting, okay, fine, yeah, that is going to happen. Your worst case scenario is going to happen. Mm-hmm. The ego death.
Right.
And then we surrender it. I work on a timeline a little bit with people. I imagine that the to the right in the timeline is the future, left's the past. So I have them move this energy, and I work with them on this, into the past so we can actually clear the present moment from. And then we alchemize that belief. So if they did believe they have to get a hit or they're not going to get the contract they want, we're going to transmute that into, I believe that regardless if I get a hit in this at bat or not, I'm still going to get the contract I want. And then what happens? Big exhale. Now every time they go up to bat, it's not make or break. Mm-hmm. And so this isn't just baseball, right? Anyone can probably imagine how this applies to things in their life all the time, right? You're going on a first date with someone and you're like, oh, I better not do the wrong thing or this person's never going to talk to me again, right? Like we do this all the time in many different areas of our life where we just end up running into programming that causes us to perform poorly. And so that's what I'm doing. I'm putting them in their body. Energetically, I'm removing the programming that is causing them these issues.
I'm not a mental performance coach, but I sometimes tell my patients, you know, you spend like 90% of your time rehearsing negative possibilities. And I believe it was Mark Twain who once said, I've been through some terrible things in my life, and some of them actually happened. You know, people are rehearsing negatives. And I said, look, do this. You can worry, but you should budget, you should allocate an equal amount of time to implausible positive scenarios. Like I'm going to go on a date and I'm going to meet like the partner of a lifetime. It's going to be great. Or I'm going to go up to the plate, and it's bottom of the ninth, two outs, bases loaded, and I'm going to hit a walk-off home run out of the park. You could equal time for positive thoughts as well as negative thoughts. I also find that when athletes perform well, there's a joy associated with it. I see certain athletes, and they just are having the time of their lives. Other athletes, they appear dour, they appear kind of clenched. They seem to be locked in, but they're locked in a bad way.
Yeah. Well, if we look at the scale of consciousness, right? The goal. The spiritual goal will get to enlightenment, right? So if you're enlightened on the way there, you're going to go up those higher frequencies are joy, peace, love. So if you're playing the game from a place of joyfully finding peace in the process, in love with the game that you play, you're just in a higher frequency. And what is a higher frequency going to create? Empowering thoughts. Because the thoughts are just going to be an expression of the frequency you're living in, right? If you're living in sad, apathetic, guilty, shameful,
or
you're going to get all the thoughts.
Or forced.
Yeah.
coerced. Yeah.
And you're going to, yeah, you're going to get all the thoughts to reaffirm that emotion for you. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think it perpetuates whatever frequency you're living in. And that's another thing I read about was how we have close to 95% of the same thoughts every single day. And I think that's because we're living in the same frequency every day, right? So you get the same thoughts. You're just you're running a cycle until mm-hmm. you change the programming that's not conscious. It's in the body. It lives in the body. This is a hard thing for a lot of people to grasp, is that like, it's not a mental thing. You know, I call myself a mental performance coach. I'm a healer, whatever you want to call me. And really it's body work. Like nothing really happens in the head. There's no intellectual part of what I do or what anyone needs to do when they come up against this resistance within themselves.
In the book, you discuss, very profound change experiences, like ego death experiences, sometimes facilitated by hallucinogens. And, you know, actually one athlete that I can think of, Aaron Rodgers, undertook a sort of a spirit journey with, I don't know, psilocybin or something like that.
Ayahuasca. I think he did Bufo as well.
Ayahuasca, right. Which is a toad venom, right? Yeah.
That's the Bufo aloe vera toad. He did that as well. But he did ayahuasca. Ayahuasca is a vine in the Amazon rainforest.
Got it. Okay.
But yeah. He's on them all.
Yeah. So, but it's of interest because, he's an example of an athlete who took a spirit journey. I'm not sure why that spirit journey took him to be the quarterback for the New York Jets, but, you know, we'll have to see how that pans out for season 24-25. You feel that sometimes that is a transformative process. Can you explain?
Yeah, it can be, especially for someone who's not connected viscerally to spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So not just intellectually, not you read about God, but actually you can feel God and you're connected to God, because that's what these things do. Any of them, they all take you to the same place. Doesn't matter what psychedelic is, you get a big enough dose and you're going to come out of it going, whoa, I'm connected to everything all at once. Time isn't real. It's all one. It's all oneness. It's all oneness. And it keeps going one, 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 one. And so having that experience of interconnectivity, I think, can help connect you to the source and allow you to channel that and understand that we're all just vessels, right? We're all just a peopling of this greater source. And so that visceral understanding allows you to, one, surrender, because you know there's something greater than yourself. It's not just little old me just working away here. You can surrender to something that you've experienced is greater than you. So every moment isn't so make or break. You know, you can understand there's something bigger than you. Hey, I surrender to you. Whatever's going to happen, happen. Let's go. I surrender everything else. What's in my control? My focus, my choices, everything else. I surrender to this greater field of energy, this source that I know is real because I've experienced it. Additionally, you can feel yourself connected to this source. And so when you're actually competing or trying to get into a flow state or into your zone, you have more of a visceral connection to what does that feel like exactly.
Right.
And then the ego death in itself, what does that do? It gives you an opportunity to be separate from the identity that you built out your entire life. And so you've lived this entire life up until this point where you have an ego death. And then all of a sudden you're separate from the identity. You can actually view the identity that's been built and you can see everything that you believe to be true and how it perpetuates the life that you experience. Versus for me personally, up until that point, I was so in it that I couldn't see the forest from the trees. Mm-hmm. So I had to die spiritually, get that disconnection so I could be like, oh, that's how you create your suffering. Mm-hmm. Now I can go back in and actually change it.
So it's very freeing that, you know, you get away from some of these self-imposed limitations. Or extrinsically imposed limitations.
Yeah. It's enlightening. It's enlightening.
So a big theme here on Intelligent Medicine is, you know, the poor health of Americans, and that's inextricably tied to overweight. And so many people are struggling against, you know, weight problems. They're resorting to powerful drugs like Ozempic, Mounjaro. A lot of people have given up on the idea that they can exert self-discipline around food and lifestyle to lose significant amounts of weight. They've tried and failed. And even the science tells us that, it doesn't really work. You know, willpower is not the answer. However, you are an exception to that because through your self-transformation, according to the book, you've lost very sizable amounts of weight, 50 pounds of weight. That's like Ozempic-like weight loss.
Yeah. Yeah. That truly was willpower. But again, there's like a greater calling behind it because I wanted to be my own case study for the workout I was doing, right? Because for me, if I'm working in max performance, then it's like, I should be able to create the results I want in every aspect of my life. And if I don't, that's evidence that I'm still programmed to fail in some area. Mm-hmm. Now that may sound harsh to someone, but like, this is what I do. I'm a mental performance coach, mm-hmm. which means that I tell people when they work with me, I'm like, I'll help you create whatever you want. And I'm pretty good at getting people to whatever it is they want. Once we get down to the truth of what they truly desire and not what they maybe think they want on the surface level. And so I need to be able to do that in my own life. And so the physical body was a place I wanted to start. And it was actually when I stopped playing football, I was a D lineman. So
which is a pitfall. That really is a pitfall because, you know, that's the training table diet. You know, it's okay when you're young and you're like working out like crazy doing, you know, suicide sprints. But then, you know, that's a recipe for obesity because the muscle turns to fat and game over for a lot of athletes.
Big time. I mean, I love my college football friends, but every single one of them is overweight.
Yeah.
They didn't make that transition. Yeah. All of them, all the guys like I lived with, we had a college football house, all of them have weight issues now because they didn't make that transition. And so for me, I was just like, I drew a line in the sand. I was like, nope. I didn't have all the tools I even have now, but at that point, I knew that I could use the tools that I did have to deploy the discipline to get to the result I wanted. And I think sometimes we have to be more black or white about things. I think sometimes we sugarcoat things a little bit too much for people. We're like, hey, you know, just like do the best you can and see how it goes. And, you know,
moderation in all things, yada, yada. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Versus, I don't know. I'm the type of person that's like, if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. And I'm just going to like flip the switch. And so I flipped the switch and I said, I'm not going to stop counting my calories and eating in a slight deficit, you know, with some days to refeed. And I'm not going to stop doing these 5 cardio workouts a week and these 3 weightlifting workouts a week until I'm shredded with a 6-pack. And that was my goal. And it may sound superficial, but
yeah.
That was it. I want to look in the mirror and I want to see it. And that ended up being, a little over 50 pounds lost altogether to get there. But the beauty of going all in and just committing in that way, and anyone who's gone through this transformation knows, is then you build the belief that it's possible and that you can do it. And then you can start to step into that identity. And so once I got there, I knew it was possible. I never had that before. And the rest of my life, I've been able to sustain that. And that's,
Another area of transformation, personal transformation for you was that like many Americans, you were saddled with enormous debt. And that takes a real toll on people's minds, but also on their bodies, because it's extraordinarily stressful to always be behind the eight ball. And somehow you got past that. So what did you do? You simply exercised fiscal discipline. You became determined to get out from under that rock?
Yeah. I mean, I got myself there because I had no idea what I was doing in business. And, you know, 22 years old, I started my first business. It was a meditation app company. And I actually had a little bit of success with it, but not enough to like really make a great living. But I had only one example of someone else who was successful in business. And that was my business partner at the time who helped me start the app company. So I created the meditations. That's my expertise. He kind of taught me the business and he was providing like the how, and then I would execute everything. And so it worked okay for a little bit, for a year or two. But I wasn't making quite enough to make a living. So I was like always getting in a little bit more credit card debt every month. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I'm so close that it's going to work out. And so at the time, I was like, what do I do next? I start more businesses. This one worked okay. Let me do more. And so I started 5 or 6 businesses at one point. You know, this is my early 20s. Naivety.
It's like startup fever, which is when I get together with the kids, you know, at Thanksgiving, it's all about startups. And you know, when I was young, there weren't no such thing. You just got a job or a profession and you kind of slugged away at it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was in Austin, Texas, you know, and this is 2013 at the time. It's like prime time. Everyone's an entrepreneur, right? It's a cool thing to do. So yeah. So a long story short, I tried to do the same thing with other companies, didn't have success, just kept racking up more and more credit card debt, got over $80,000 in debt. And then I just was like, okay, again, it's kind of with the weight loss. I'm drawing a line. I'm going to live within my means now going forward. And so I worked with a company to consolidate my debt, where basically they were going to pay the credit card companies and they would give me a monthly payment. And I just had to make those monthly payments until I paid it all off. I had to move down to South America because I could live there for less than $1,000 a month.
Wow.
I let my business partner buy me out from the first meditation app company. So I got a little bit of cash, started to make those debt payments. So I had a little bit of a buffer. And that was just it. I was like, I'm going to live extremely cheap, and I'm going to focus on only one thing, one business at a time. And so, you know, that led to me actually starting a fitness brand. Mm-hmm. It was a YouTube channel around jump rope fitness. It was supposed to be jump rope fitness and also meditation, mindfulness. Over time, the market told us they just wanted the jump rope fitness stuff. You know, it's a lot easier to sell weight loss than it is to sell all this mental stuff that I do.
Yeah.
So
it's less sticky in some ways. And that's because it's a really sophisticated concept. It's not a quick fix kind of thing. Yeah.
I could post a YouTube thumbnail with a six pack and people knew what they were getting, right?
Right.
I can't really do that for the other stuff. I can't be like, hey, you want a piece?
Yeah. Madison Avenue can't sell that.
Yeah. It's not as sexy. So yeah, I just focused on that one thing, though. I burned the ships, and I just focused on that one thing, and we were able to build that fitness YouTube channel, over 1 million subscribers, over 100 million views on YouTube. The business ended up doing millions of dollars, and basically just kept doing it until I got to a point where, like, I made some good money and I could come back to doing what I always wanted to do since, you know, I first discovered, which was just the mental performance coaching full time. And so that's what I did. And, you know, I was in Colombia for 3 years, digging myself out of that debt and building that company. And so that was it. I drew that line. I said two things. I'm not going to spend more money than I make, and I'm only going to focus on one business. And that really was the recipe for the success I had.
Pretty basic, but you kind of get down to fundamentals. I think what's interesting is that you seem to be in the zone with what you do, and that instead of chasing success, you know, through a lot of frankly gimmicky kinds of things, coming to your authentic self and expressing that, you know, via social media and outreach to people, has garnered you success in kind of a different way than, you know, grabbing onto, oh, I've got an idea for a startup. I've got, you know, this concept, you know, and it's all a little bit ephemeral. And so when you come to your authentic self and do what you love and do it with commitment and sincerity, I think that brings rewards.
Yes. And I think some people are looking for like a greater end game, a sense of completion. And I don't think that's what we should be looking for, right? I think we should be, like you said, aligning with our authentic self and just like, how do you want to spend your time? You know, if you love to do podcasts and research and interview people, it's like, there's no end game. It's just, this is what you do. You know, I think so many things people view as a means to an end. And now I've gotten to a place in my career where it's funny, like I have some social media presence, but I pretty much only get my clients through word of mouth. They're all referrals. And people ask me, oh, what's your plan? Are you going to scale this out? Are you going to coach, teach all these people to do what you do? And I'm like, this is all I
have a whole cadre of Brandons to clone the work and, you know, have a whole cottage industry of performance enhancing coaches.
But right now it's like, I just love just sitting down with someone and doing the work. And that's all I really want to do. I just feel so, so grateful that it's taken a long time, but I get to do that every day.
And finally, you know, just as a historical note, you know, you mentioned that in the beginning of your career, which is really not that long ago, because you're quite young, there was less of an acceptance of, this mental performance coaching for sports teams. Now, I think it's very integral. I believe it's really baked into every Olympic team of every country. It's based into every professional team You know, we see it also embodied in series like Billions, where in effect they had a psychiatrist, the female character who was, you know, sort of exhorting the you know, these money guys to go for it. It really is part and parcel of, you know, virtually every performance-oriented endeavor in society.
Yeah, I think it's just a lever that you can pull that can have profound exponential results. And, you know, I see it so much to what I do. It's like, okay, well, what's the difference between, like, you know, guys in the contract season baseball, and what's the difference between hitting 240 and 290? It's like, we're talking maybe tens of millions of more dollars. So there's just ways to, like, pull that lever to unlock so much. That's why they're doing it on Billions, right? If you got those guys into flow, like, they're able to execute in a much higher level. And so much of it just comes down to belief in oneself. And we talk about it, and it's something that's spoken about quite a bit, but it's just, it's so much of the magic sauce, you know? It's just like, do you truly believe in yourself without doubt, just this ability to surrender to that higher power and believe that this is for you and you can go take it right now if you're ready for it?
So a kind of a nuanced question. How do you distinguish between belief in yourself and self-delusion? Because it's appropriate to have doubts and to challenge yourself about some of the things, some of your things that you're doing, rather than being all in, a higher power is inevitably guiding me to success. How do you address that?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of an example of having the client who was, I think delusion is more so like when someone's telling you that everything's okay and you see the evidence that it's not.
Okay.
Right. I think that's where I see delusion at play. And it's like, and they can only, they're only lying to themselves. And so those people, they're not going to get out of the ruts that they're in. They're going to be stuck in those painful cycles because if they don't want to ask for help. Here's an example of someone who's delusionary.
Okay.
Delusional. Do you follow boxing at all?
To some extent, yeah.
Okay. So
more the, you know, the Sugar Ray Robinson era.
Okay. Well, this is more recent. This is a few years ago, but
go ahead.
Deontay Wilder lost to Tyson Fury, and he was undefeated. He was knocked out every single guy he fought until he fought Tyson Fury. So he had incredible belief in himself that he was, he could not be beaten.
He was invincible.
But then, yes. But then when he lost, you could see the delusion start to seep in, because then he started to say, I lost because the outfit I wore out to the ring was too heavy and it weighed me down. And then it became Tyson was on performance enhancing drugs. And then it became he had, like, you know, forbidden things in his midst. And that's when you hear people start to make excuses like that, you know, they're going beyond belief and it's delusion. And he's just gone downhill ever since then. I wish I could get my hands on him. I could help him so much.
Yeah.
But he is stuck in that delusion. And you know that's present when what you're saying does not actually compute with the reality that it is occurring.
So you have to adjust to, you know, external circumstances and, you know, make appropriate course corrections. That's part of self-awareness. And, you know, it's not necessarily. Go ahead.
For Deontay, I'll give you an example. Like, if I were to work with him, I know he's still living with a belief right now that nobody can beat me, but then he keeps losing.
No.
So he needs to transmute that belief into, I believe that even though I lost, I can still win. He basically just needs to go through that death, that ego death, and the acceptance of, like, yes, I did. And the reclamation of his identity in truth, where he's not living in truth right now. So that's what I would do with him.
Okay. And just get rid of that baggage, which is limiting his future performances. And, you know, same thing with, I mean, a baseball player who, you know, is batting, you know, 300, you know, I can think of one guy, DJ LeMahieu, who plays for the Yankees, my team, who won batting titles in both the American League and the National League, came to the Yankees, was a star, and is having an abysmal year. And really, there's trade talk around him, and he's had injuries, and then he came back, and it was, well, guess what? Last game, he had six RBIs. He hit a grand slam home run. You know, I thought he was done for. You know, as a fan, I thought, like, trade this guy. It's over for him. Well, no, because things can turn around. And I think that that's something that people have to experience at a visceral level, possibilities and potentials.
Yeah, baseball is hard, man. Hitting is so hard.
That's the crazy thing about it. It is a very, I watch it. I actually went to a minor league baseball game, and because it's a minor league baseball game, for reasonable price, we got to sit like right at field level and watch them hit and watch the pitched balls. It is a very niched skill to hit that 90, 95 mile an hour fastball, curveball, slider, sinker. And, you know, people go, why can't anybody hit, you know, routinely over 300? Well, you sit, you know, field level, you begin to understand that and why there are literally thousands and thousands of kids playing baseball and only a couple of hundred who make it to the major league, because it is a very niche skill. So it's, very, very, and a very mental game too, right?
Extremely. Well,
great stuff, Brandon. And, you know, I commend you on your book, Program to Fail, How to Break Through Your Mental Block and Achieve Greatness. And so you also, there are other ways that people can follow your work on Instagram and via YouTube. You have some YouTubes, you have a YouTube channel. Any other ways, website, et cetera?
I got a website, thebrandonepstein.com. If anyone wants to reach out, learn more about the work that I do, interest in coaching, they can be up there.
So, and if people are inspired to work with you directly, they can do so, and you do like a telemedicine kind of consultation?
If you live in South Florida, we could do it in person, but otherwise, most of my clients I'm doing via video call.
Okay, great. Good stuff. All the best to you. I commend you on, you know, just the originality and the sincerity of your work. And I think, you know, very useful information for our intelligent medicine listeners. And, I think news that they can use in terms of achieving success, both in, you know, athletic endeavors, but more importantly, in everyday life. Thanks very much for joining us, Brandon.
All right. Thank you for having me.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I want to thank you for listening to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or your favorite podcast app, and get new episodes automatically downloaded every weekday. And please give us a rating and review. It truly helps new people discover intelligent medicine. The Intelligent Medicine Podcast is for general informational purposes only and does not constitute the practice of medicine, nursing, or other professional healthcare services, including the giving of medical advice, and no doctor-patient relationship is formed. The use of information on this podcast or materials linked from this podcast is at the user's own risk. The content of this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should not disregard or delay in obtaining medical advice for any medical condition they may have, and should seek the assistance of their healthcare professionals for any such conditions. Finally, please visit drhoffman.com and discover everything intelligent medicine has to offer, including frequently updated, unbiased health news, and fully vetted product and supplement recommendations.